This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. As a hockey player at UW-Madison, Blake Jeffrion seemed to be destined for big things at the highest levels of the game. He had played for Team USA at many levels of youth hockey. He was drafted by an NHL team partway through college, elected to finish 4 years. After his senior year, he won the Hobie Baker Award as the top college hockey player in the country. Hockey was even in his blood. Pro hockey went back 4 generations, including the legendary Bernie Boom Boom Jeffrion, his grandfather. But just a couple years into his pro career, a horrific on-ice injury ultimately put an end to his playing days. A new book shares Blake's story. The author joins us now along with Blake Jeffrion himself. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you played competitive hockey yourself? What was your experience like in the sport? If you gave a big part of your life to any sport and your playing days ended, what was it like? How did you handle that transition? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Sam Jeffries is a freelance writer and communications professional and a UW-Madison graduate. He's author of the book Legacy on Ice, Blake Jeffrion and the Fastest Game on Earth. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And legendary UW-Madison hockey star Blake Jeffrion is with us as well. Blake, welcome back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
Blake, first of all, this book covers some very painful moments in every way of the word in your story. A guy comes up to you and says, I want to write a book about these moments. Did you think twice about wanting to talk about it and relive it?
Yeah, I think my first reaction was, is this guy serious? Out of all the people and all the things in the world you could write a book about, why me? Was actually my knee-jerk and first reaction. But to answer your question more directly, I think everything in this world happens for a reason, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. And I've taken the good, learned from the bad, and kind of moved on. I think that's how I've always been. That's how I was as a player. When Sam approached me, once I got past it, he was actually real and it wasn't a college buddy messing with me. I was kind of thumbs up and let's do this.
Sam, Blake set up my first question for you. Why Blake? What led you to want to tell his story?
I had gone to Madison and Blake and I overlapped and followed his incredible career, but then followed his pro career after as well, and saw that rise and then the tragedy that ended his playing time. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that there was so much additional that I could share and tell, and that he really was the Forrest Gump of hockey, that he had been right place, right time for so many moments in the sport for decades. And so I don't think it was that hard of a sell to convince him that there was even more to his story than maybe he realized.
Now, Blake, your earliest memories of hockey, I mentioned Hockey Dynasty, a Boom Boom Jeffrion, the inventor of the slap shot. There are stories in the book about you riding your tricycle around in circles, pretending it's a Zamboni. What is your first memory of saying, this is what I want to do? I want to play hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's 3 defining moments that stick out, big time for me. Number one would be, just getting on the ice and understanding that feeling and pushing around a chair and learning how to skate. Two was, I remember the first time that I actually scored a goal and the sensation and feeling that ran through my body. And that's when I knew I was a true competitor since a very young age. And then I think 3 was when I was a fairly young kid, and this story's in the book, I was shooting pucks in the backyard and my grandfather came out, Boom Boom Jeffrion, and he goes, that's not how you shoot the puck. You shoot the puck like this, Dare. And he took my little stick, flipped it over because I was lefty, he was a righty, missed the net and put a hole through my fence. And I remember watching this puck saucer perfectly and the whole thing. And then my dad instantly came out like, Dad, what are you doing? I just built that fence. And, after I saw my pappy shoot the puck, I was like, oh man, I want to be that guy. I think those are the 3 defining moments of my early childhood days of wanting to be a hockey player.
And Sam, we just heard that French-Canadian accent of Blake's pappy there. But Blake's growing up in the Nashville, Tennessee area. You talk about this in the book. If at that time I was looking, I was a scout, I was going to find my next hockey star, Tennessee, I wasn't going to start there, right?
Probably not, although hockey had been creeping to Tennessee for a while. And a cool Madison connection, Bob Suter, who was on the Miracle on Ice team and as a Wisconsin native, ended up playing for a minor league team in Nashville back after the Miracle on Ice and before his pro career really took off. So that creep had been going on for a while, but Blake's dad, Danny, and then the entire Jeffreon family drove so much of that, and it really was an incredible thing for him to get drafted by his hometown team and be able to return to Nashville, you know, 10-plus years removed from his peewee days and wear the colors of the hometown NHL team.
Talking to Sam Jeffries, author of the new book Legacy on Ice, Blake Jeffreon and the Fastest Game on Earth, and UW hockey star Blake Jeffreon himself. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have questions for our guests, hockey memories of your own, join in at 800-642-1234. Blake, you have a great teen career going. Some people around the country very curious about where you are going to go to college. What took you to Madison?
Yeah, great question. Growing up as a kid, Michigan was always kind of my number one choice, you know, in the South. You know, the only college hockey games we got to see were the Michigan-Michigan State rival games or the national championship game or the Frozen Four. And usually Michigan was always in those games with those cool blue, you know, those blue helmets with the yellow stripes. Always wanted that helmet. And, Red Berenson, who was the coach for a long time there, was a good family friend of ours as well. So I think kind of those two were kind of the number one reasons why I wanted to go there. And really the punchline is, I'd lived in Ann Arbor for 2 years playing for Team USA and Ann Arbor's great, but I wanted something a little bit more and something, you know, a little bit different. And when I went to Madison and just saw the football game, the small city, although very similar to Ann Arbor around, you know, size, but a little bit bigger, a little bit more of a personality to the town, a little bit more swagger to the town, a great team. And then the ultimate, the Kohl Center. And then Mike Eaves, the head coach there at the time, his assistant, former assistant John Hines, was my head coach at USA. And they had very similar styles of play and the way they looked at the game and whatnot. And I think when you combine all of that, when I went to Madison, it was just like, oh, and don't forget the infamous college club owned by the Meyer family, because that was a selling point for me. And I think when you combine all of those, I mean, there was nothing that, you wrap in the great education of Wisconsin. Truthfully, I really don't think there's a better, setup or college hockey program in the country. And I mean that, wholeheartedly, not just because I went there. It's pretty hard to beat Madison.
Sam, UW-Madison had at various points been one of the biggest teams in the country, always at or near the top. What were things like by the time that Blake ends up going to UW-Madison for the hockey program in the late 2000s?
Yeah, so Blake comes in on the heels of the 2006 National Championship, and both men's and women's team won that year, so it was really a crowning achievement for the program in so many ways. And has to inherit a team with high expectations and then have to deal with his own, no offense, but Blake, but big-headedness that doesn't matter what color the helmet was, probably couldn't fit it on. And it ended up being a struggle for the next couple of years, and really the pathway that I think he found himself and then the team under Mike Eaves found its way back to the national championship in 2010 and really put together an incredible run that culminated in so many ways in those Mike Eaves years.
Blake, actually, let's talk about that. Sam writes about this in the book. There were a couple points in your career and a couple big ones in college where you switched your approach to the game and became more of a student of the game, more team focused. Can you talk about what changed your attitude and led to a lot of your success?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think as an 18-year-old kid being drafted as a first round, a first pick, second round of your hometown team, coming off a world championship, entering college where the team that you're going to just won, coming off the national championship and hanging out with those guys and seeing what they're like and whatnot, and then going into freshman year, being like, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. Like, you know, as Sam alluded to, you know, I was big-headed, arrogant, and the whole thing, as I think any 18-year-old kid would be. And look, I had to learn and grow up and mature, and that while I was a talented guy, I wasn't the most, it didn't come naturally to me. And the core competency of why I was a good player was my work ethic, first and foremost. And if I wasn't working hard, a lot of other things weren't working, if at all. And, you know, I think it, just like anything in life, you go through, you know, iterations of as a player and as a person that you need to kind of, once the season ended, I always would reflect on what I do well, what I do bad, what I need to improve on, what I need to get back to, what I need to learn from, and whatnot. And I think, you know, freshman year was a very humbling experience for me. And, you know, I got back to my core of, you know, not worrying about the extracurricular activities and, you know, focusing on the game and hockey and just working hard and then evolving from there and just keep getting better and better every year. You know, I think is the core of it.
We're talking to former pro hockey player and Badger star Blake Jeffrion, also with us Sam Jeffries, author of the new book Legacy on Ice, Blake Jeffrion and the Fastest Game on Earth. Coming up, we'll talk about the injury that ended Blake's career just a few years into his pro stint. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a fan recently or for a long time of the UW hockey program? Did you yourself pour a lot of time and energy into playing a certain sport when those days ended? What did it mean to you? Join at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Blake Jeffrion, former Wisconsin Badger hockey star, professional hockey player, and Sam Jeffries, author of the new book Legacy on Ice, Blake Jeffrion and the Fastest Game on Earth. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have questions for our guests, Blake, I want to take you now a couple years into your pro career. You've played with that hometown team in Nashville, traded to the Montreal Canadiens. It's the strike season. You're playing with the minor league team. What might look like a routine moment in hockey changed your life. If you're willing to, can you share your experience of that moment and what you remember of it and what came after?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I remember it was we were playing a game in the Bell Center. It was during the lockout, so we wanted to give something to the fans. I was playing for the Montreal Canadiens minor league team. My mom and dad flew up. They were actually in Boston watching my brothers play and then drove up to Montreal to watch me. It was a couple shifts into the first period, and, you know, puck turned over inside the blue line of our own end. I turned it up and, you know, was going on the boards, tried to jump out of the way of a hip check. And long and short is, you know, his skate went one way, my shoulder went the other, or head went the other, kind of skate came up and hit me right in the side of the head. You know, I had suffered a lot of concussions in my career, both, you know, very, very minor to all of being knocked out and unconscious. So, I had known what a concussion felt like, and I'd known if I'd had one. And after that collision happened, which was a hard collision, I definitely thought I did, but when I, you know, as a, when that happens to me, usually my peripheral vision goes, so it looks like you're, you know, it seems as if you're looking down, like, look, you have two straws you're looking down, is kind of the best way to describe it. And I didn't have that. So I was sitting on my knees and, you know, kind of waiting for a second. And then, you know, of course a fight breaks out, or, you know, a scrum breaks out. And then, you know, I kind of stood up, I sat back, put my head up, and I just felt like a warm sensation go down my back, which was a bunch of blood. And then I was like, oh man, I gotta get off the ice. So I skated off the ice with my head kind of over, you know, and I get to the trainer's room, or I'm sorry, get to the bench where my trainers met with a towel. You know, he puts it up. I go into the trainer's room. They don't know where I'm kind of bleeding from. And long story short is I had a pretty severe cut in the side of my head, and they, looked at it and kind of disappeared very quickly. Mind you, these guys all are speaking in French, so I don't know what they're saying whatsoever. And they come flying back 100 miles an hour with the doctor. The doctor says, you know, something very quickly in French. And everything started moving very quickly from there on out. You know, next thing I know, my mom and dad are down there. I'm in a stretcher, and I'm off to the hospital. You know, the last memory I had before I went unconscious was, you know, I went into the hospital in a stretcher, looking up into those, you know, one of those rooms that's really cold. And, you know, I passed out. And the punchline there is I had a depressed cold fracture and internal bleeding on my brain, which caused me to kind of, you know, go unconscious. Mm. So that was the last thing I remember until I woke up, you know, I don't remember how many hours, but a lot of hours later. So,
and Sam, I'm not an athlete. I'm a parent of athletes, not at Blake's level. My first thought was his parents are there, right? And when you see your kid down, you don't know what's happened. You talk to Blake's family members about their experience. Could you talk about how they talked about that moment?
Yeah, and it was really one of the amazing things for the Jeffreon family to be so open with me. His mom, Kelly, who's a tremendous storyteller, walked me through being in the stands and I think being a little casual when it first happened, because they have Blake is not their only son. They all play hockey. They've seen injuries before.
Yeah.
That's right. They've seen injuries. They've seen concussions. And I remember her telling me, first thought was, another concussion. And kind of, you know, girding themselves for that recovery. And it wasn't until being in the hospital and having to rush Blake to surgery that they really understood that this time was different and the seriousness of it. Speaking French or not, that really came through very quickly. And so she was open and transparent, and then had to unfortunately be the one to make the call to Blake's fiance at the time, and his now wife, Kaylin. And Kaylin was taking a night off from law school, having a well-deserved break with friends, and gets the call, not having in her mind Blake's playing schedule, not knowing where and when the game was that night. And, you know, immediately fell to her knees and broke down and really described being near catatonic, traveling from Chicago to Montreal to be with him bedside. So it was, you know, and everyone I talked to, there was a real delayed reaction. I think nobody understood the danger or the risks. And then, you know, I spoke to the surgeon and the trainer, and I think for the medical side, they all understood very quickly how bad this was, how close he was to do something far more severe than what happened, and how lucky it was that there was no NHL that night, because they actually had the best in the business sitting there ringside ready to help.
Talking to Sam Jeffries, author of the new book, Legacy on Ice, Blake Jeffreon and the Fastest Game on Earth, and Blake Jeffreon himself, former pro and UW-Madison hockey player. Blake, there's a moment in the book after this injury, the recovery, it takes time, it's difficult, and you're evaluating hockey, and the thought might be, do you make a comeback, do you not? And it seems like you're asking yourself, even before the injury, was it worth it? Is this where I want to be? Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, look, I think, you know, I had suffered 13 documented concussions in my career. We all know the short-term and long-term effects of concussions, or what's out there. And, you know, I had spoken to a lot of people, you know, both former players, current players, you know, neurologists. I mean, you know, anyone and everyone, you pretty much name it, I had spoken to. And what the common theme that kept coming back was, you know, Blake, it's actually, you know, it's scientifically proven that it's not actually as a big of a deal if you suffer a lot of concussions. It's around two core competencies, and that is, number one, does the time period that you're out continue to get longer and longer? Is the first and foremost question you have to ask yourself. And then secondly, you know, how often are they occurring, you know, inside that? And I would say, you know, historically, when I had suffered a concussion, I was usually back within, you know, a couple of days to a week, feeling pretty much ready to go. And I would say my last you know, two concussions that I had suffered previously were fairly within reach of each other. And both of those were, I was out longer term, and they were, each of those consecutively were longer durations of being out. And then when you suffer something like this, it's actually substantially worse than a concussion, obviously. And, you know, it's actually, you know, a bruise to your brain. And you know, everyone would just like, look, dude, you can go, like, if, first of all, if you can find a doctor to let you play and is willing to assume liability, you know, by all means, best of luck to you on that one. But secondly, like, there's no way that you can, that you should come back and play. You should move on, live a long and happy life, and not have, you know, long-term effects associated with this, and go do something else. And, you know, so it was kind of writing on the wall, and that's how I'd always kind of made every decision, was kind of, you know, if you talk to enough people, usually you get a gut feeling around it, the right decision to make, and or it kind of slaps you in the face on what you should do in life. You know, turn to the ones you're closest with and people that know the most about that industry. And I think after I did that, it was kind of, you know, the writing was on the wall. It was time for me to step away and go do something else.
You did continue to work in hockey. You did some time as a scout and into management. You still love the game?
I still do love the game. You know, as you said, you know, I went on to be a scout and, as I like to call it, a road warrior, and then into management. But, you know, ultimately, you know, still love the game, still watch it. I just made a bet with my dad over the weekend that I still think Connor McDavid will lead the NHL in scoring this year. It's nice that he's got 11 points in his last three games. No, I still love the game, still follow pretty closely. I have a lot of friends that still play. But, you know, going through all this, I think the one thing that I've found is that family and friends are most important to me. And I was no longer willing to sacrifice those relationships in exchange for the game of hockey. So moved on to do something else.
I will leave it there. Blake, thanks for joining us today.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me. And Sam, as always, pal, good to see you. And thanks for writing the book, pal.
Yeah. And Sam, thanks for being with us.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the time and excited to hear what people think. It was a special journey to be able to write it and something else to have it out in the world and for Blake's kids and my own to be able to read it one day.
We've been talking to former pro hockey player and UW-Madison star Blake Jeffrion and author Sam Jeffries. Sam's new book is called Legacy on Ice, Blake Jeffrion and the Fastest Game on Earth. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.